Hello again, and welcome back to Two Guys in the Neighborhood. I'm Bruce Carlisle. With me again is the Sage of Verona, Mr. Mark Popovich.
Bruce, we're almost to March, okay?
The madness.
The madness can start not just on the basketball court, but in the TV show world as well.
So we're getting the little bit of a mini May or March sweeps.
Yep.
Little shows closing down, our favorites. Shows going on hiatus for a couple weeks. April's a thinner month, I realize.
April is a thinner month. Then we get to the May sweeps, more exciting stuff again. So we're going to see how this plays out here.
Good.
Lots going on here. Most of all, most of which having to do with NBC not having any shows anymore.
It's sad that even the major news publications, like the LA Times, was already lamenting the death of NBC after winning. They win the fall?
They won the fall, mostly because of The Voice.
And
Sunday Night Football. And now they're getting destroyed. Do you realize in this last ratings book, NBC is finishing fifth among the networks?
Behind the CW?
No. Univision coming in at fourth.
Oh, well, I mean, Univision is definitely something that I could see as getting millions of people. I mean, not only to say this, because if you look at the top three radio stations in the Los Angeles area, Kiss FM is number one, and number two and number three are Spanish language broadcasting.
Right.
So it's not so shocking to me. I just was hoping it was the CW for Heather Martin, that all her watching would have paid off.
For Vampire Diaries.
Yes, the Vampire is so hot right now.
It is so hot right now. Well, let's talk about the show's flying part. Community, which has come back as a shell of its former self.
You know how I thought about it after watching it again? Because we talked about it last week, and I was going to try, and I still kind of held on a little bit of a hope that it was missing that spark, that Harmon-like spark. But I really feel that it is basically Community fan fiction at this point. It's live Community fan fiction. Like, if you were going to write your own episode of Community and post it on whatever Tumblr, whatever blog, or, you know, if you have your own fan fiction type thing, we don't judge. That's good. But I feel like someone who wrote the best Community fan fiction got the prize of producing a Community episode.
And what's really interesting is I feel like this last episode from last week where they go to the Inspector's FaceTime convention was like a realist. Like, that could have definitely been a Harmon idea, like where they would actually go to this and hijinks would ensue. But the whole execution of it and the stuff going on around it didn't totally make sense. Like, I didn't like Allison Brie sitting in a hotel room by herself going crazy, pretending to be married to Jeff.
Yes, I agree.
That didn't totally fit for me. Chevy Chase ruining a focus group, I could definitely see. But with everybody listening to him, that didn't quite totally make sense. I don't know. I just felt like it was missing the nuts yet again, to sit with my previous metaphor.
I agree. I feel like you have a seven-person team, and it's tough to write for an ensemble show, and we've discussed
this. Look at Parenthood.
Oh, yes. You got to make sure you get enough Dax Shepard episodes in.
Telling you, Parenthood, we're talking about things that are saving NBC.
Yeah, sadly, Parenthood is one of them.
Absolutely.
It's been thrown a life raft with holes. That's the best thing you could have, is with Parenthood being your anchor. But here's the thing. Like, so the episode, at any given point so far this season, the Britta, Troy, and Abed, that triangle was interesting. It could have been good. So it left four players that did very little. Yes, it was fun to see Jeff be potentially a lookalike to a character on Inspector Spacetime. So he kind of gets moved in. But there were three characters, Annie, Shirley, and Pierce, that brought nothing to the table. And I almost would have felt that it would have been better if you just left them off that episode.
Make it a bottle episode.
What I mean, like, yeah, in the sense that, you know, we just didn't invite Shirley. Okay,
yeah.
Hey, Shirley's with her kids today.
Yeah.
I'm okay with a non-Shirley episode. But no, we have to try to shoehorn everyone in. And that's, I think, when you look at the great episodes of Community, you know, the Christmas special one, the video game one, the D&D one especially, they all got to be at a table.
Yeah.
And you could play off their different personalities. The Darkest Timeline episode, same
Absolutely,
thing.
That was great.
But here, I feel like anytime you move the location out of there and the characters split up, then you're really writing for strengths of some people and the weaker characters that are never really fully developed. Unfortunately, you expose them. if you give them their own arc, and you can't carry a show with Shirley and Pierce.
No, you cannot. And I think Community, this will be the end of Community this season. Even NBC, I know NBC is struggling, and they can't put any shows on air, which is what's going to save something like Parenthood. Mm. Parenthood has to come back because NBC has no other shows.
Right. No, they're already ordering, what, 27 pilots this year?
Yeah, like they set like a record for most pilots ordered. I think Community is going to get burned off here, and they'll go right through it. And that'll be sad in a way. Hopefully, maybe it has enough to make it to syndication. I don't know.
So let me ask you, what was a sadder ending for a beloved show for you and I? Community just getting, doing the circle in the drain, or that last spin-off season of Scrubs where they all became doctors and the guy who looked like John Lackey was involved?
That Scrubs MD was not a good season of television.
No.
That was not good at all. Wow. I think that is worse than what's happening to Community.
Really? See, I would argue.
Because not only was Bill Lawrence not really involved in that, even though his name was on it, but he wasn't involved.
Same thing with Community.
With Dan Harmon still have his name on it. I feel like with Community, there's at least still the semblance of the show and the rhythm of the show is still kind of there. Whereas Scrubs MD was just throwing crap at a wall and you'd get a random Cox rant at people you'd never seen before that made no sense.
Possibly. I think the other thing about the Scrubs. They physically moved the entire hospital into like some like CGI like park.
Well, you know what happened was the hospital they filmed at, because they filmed at a real hospital.
Right.
They decided they didn't want to be a part of that anymore once they decided that the show wasn't going to be back in its continuous form. So they didn't want to participate in that anymore.
But they owned the hospital. The hospital didn't want to be part of it.
Nope.
A bought out hospital with no patients.
Nope.
Even they wanted to have
no part of the Scrubs MD.
That should be the winner right there, just based on that fact.
All right, so then now continuing NBC's slide, Do No Harm, White Sean goes down.
As people who enjoyed, now, there's a few things about White Sean from Rescue Me, for those of you who are not Rescue Me fan, that you didn't stick through all six seasons like we did.
Sadly, we did.
But I never thought that White Sean could be a character that would fill an entire hour of programming until he had that weird kid. And he was like a Tony, he was a Broadway actor.
He's a Broadway actor. He's got a beautiful singing voice, which they let him showcase that one random dream episode he had on Rescue Me.
Right.
But he doesn't seem capable of carrying an entire show himself, too. It is harder to buy him as somebody who would be a doctor.
True, after him paying the idiot firefighter.
Right. And so I do think, but that show, like, why didn't they just call it Jekyll and Hyde?
Well, that's what they're going for, but you can't.
I know, but why could, if they just called it Jekyll and Hyde, like they have a show, you know, they have, you know, the show about
Elementary,
like you knew where I was going with that, Okay? Which at least plays, you know, has some sort of tie-in to that old.
I think that's what they were trying with that, like, because it's Dr. Jekyll, like you can do no harm. Yes, it was an extra leap.
It didn't fit, and then, plus you're on NBC, plus it was in that Thursday 10 p.m. time slot, which was once the golden era of time slots for NBC. Do you realize that from like 1982 to 2006, there were only three shows in that time slot?
I agree. It was a beautiful
time slot. And then now, like, and since that time, they've had something like 16 shows in that slot.
Including Jay Leno.
Including the Jay Leno show, which was an unmitigated disaster.
I think the thing that makes me more frustrated about NBC's running, and this is why we make the whole reason for this podcast, is an open pitch to have us run NBC someday.
We could do so much better.
I agree. We would bring MILF Island, though.
MILF Island would definitely be a show. We would just take all the throwaway shows from 30 Rock and make them into actual shows.
I loved Hominem.
Hominem was such a great show, potentially.
But here's where I don't get the fact that they try the Jay Leno show. Everyone knows that this wasn't going to work. They go full speed ahead. It backfires. They take this Do No Harm show. This backfires. I mean, if there's one thing that people want, like, I don't understand. They made it, the three shows, two of the shows are Law & Order, ER, and the other one was Hill Street Blues,
Hill Street.
So you went cop show, doctor show, cop show. Give the people what they want. They want cop shows and they want medical shows. They want
LA Law was
LA Law.
LA
Law's good. Yeah. Okay, lawyers.
Lawyer shows.
There, but those are your three.
That's the TNT mold now. TNT is dominating those areas now for people who like those kinds of shows.
And they're being far
and
more...
And so is CBS.
Yes, because I don't know why... I know because it's the same reason why Seth MacFarlane's hosting the Oscars, that there is just this elusive demographic of young people that you want to grab the young people, because I get it that eventually they become old people and there's, I guess, some sort of brand loyalty...
Brand loyalty doesn't exist anymore in youth world.
I agree. I am completely.
And so, as you, I'm gonna call us youth oriented right now.
We are barely still in that 18 to 34 demo.
We're barely still there. But I'm just gonna tell you right now. I really feel like if we saw this year at the Oscars, to stick with your Oscars theme, that I think seven of the nine Best Picture nominees not only made over $100 million, but were all aimed at an older audience.
Correct.
Okay? And so I think that if you make shows for adults, adults will find them.
Well, I also feel that...
if you stop trying to chase this elusive youth demographic, I don't think 19-year-olds in college are sitting down and going, Tuesday night at 8:30, is Wings on? They're not looking
just
for...
Just me. You when you were 19.
I loved Wings. That was such a good show.
I think that also the big thing is older people have far more disposable income.
And time.
Yes. And I don't understand why they... And we're willing to pay for it, unlike younger people.
Exactly.
So I feel that by skewing younger, you're missing the people that are going
to
watch.
Old people still want to sit on a couch and watch TV. Old people aren't going to pull out their tablet and watch the latest episode of Elementary or Blue Bloods
on Hulu Plus.
On Hulu Plus. Like, that's not going to happen. And so I think you have to embrace what you are. CBS is the best at this. Mm-hmm. CBS stays in their lane. They know what they do well, and CBS does an amazing job of it. NBC, what does NBC even stand for anymore?
I don't know. They have no flagship programming besides The Voice.
And that's barely flagship programming at this point.
I agree, but I mean, you could say the same thing about Fox as we transition to our next Fox program, is the sense that it was American Idol and
right.
The Simpsons, and that carried Fox for
decades.
20 years.
Yeah. And so, well, let's transition to talk about our next show, which is New Girl.
Which I believe is another flagship type program. I was reading some other art when they talk about viewership being down, that people don't just watch shows anymore that they like. They have to love the show to watch them. And I feel that that was a pretty profound statement, because there's shows that I liked, Person of Interest being the most famous one, where I liked it. It stacked up on my DVR, and it never really kind of went anywhere, and they would get stabbed. Then I would just delete them and maybe not feel bad about doing it, but it always I get far behind because I liked it, but I didn't love it.
I think that's a really good point because, as people in this 21st century age with the DVR, mm-hmm. when things get taped, it's like last night New Girl was on. Like, hey, I wanted to watch New Girl last night, okay?
Right.
And so, that was, the priority for viewing for last night, okay, was we're setting up our viewing evening, okay? I think we all kind of do that now to some extent.
Right. No, I was excited that it was Tuesday. It was a new episode of New Girl.
Right.
I was ready to watch.
My wife's episode of The Millionaire Matchmaker, that could sit on the DVR for 2 weeks.
Right.
Nobody's looking for that. That's filler, okay? Hey, I'm away at a basketball game. You got to kill 45 minutes. There you go, okay? But no, that's not – I think you do have to love stuff now because, look at 1600 Penn, a show I stumped for.
Right.
On this very podcast a few weeks ago, which is a good show. It's got some funny moments, and it's got a really nice, interesting idea behind it. But am I dying to watch 1600 Penn? No. It's going to stack up on the DVR.
So this makes me almost want to ask our listener audience, and maybe we'll put it up on our Facebook page.
We will put it up on our Facebook
page.
Now,
what is your show that stacks up the most on your DVR?
That's a really good one.
Because for me right now, because we've thinned the herd a lot, yeah. Modern Family is the last show I get around to. That is the cutoff line between whatever my wife watches, Millionaire Matchmaker,
right.
Real Housewives of some geographic location, that, those ones are kind of her shows, and
right.
I have my own shows. But the last show that we both watch, it's going to be on there this week. It's going to get to about Friday night, maybe even Monday, before I get back around to watching Modern Family.
And I think that's fair. I think that's for Modern Family, which I know keeps winning Emmys, but it's good, but it's not great.
I agree. I don't even think it's probably the third best comedy on TV right now.
Well, I'd put it ahead. I'd put it below definitely New Girl and Parks and Rec.
Right. Those are the two that I think. I mean, Community had a brief flirtation with the top.
Community, but 30 Rock's off the air now. I would have put 30 Rock ahead of it.
Yes.
30 Rock's off, though. Community, last year I would have put ahead of it, but 30 Rock, or Community's slowly dying before our very eyes.
Right.
I don't watch any of those CBS multi-cam sitcoms, so Two Broke Girls isn't getting on there.
No.
I'd put How I Met Your Mother slightly below Modern Family.
I would, too. How I Met Your Mother and Big Bang Theory slightly below.
Yeah, you can
Even
throw
though,
those on there.
Have you watched them in syndication?
I find myself watching more How I Met Your Mother in syndication randomly.
I agree.
The Big Bang Theory, people have tried to get me into it, and I just can't get there.
You know what I will say about The Big Bang Theory? I don't know if it's, they have some weird sort of mind connection that I'll find myself, like, if it's on, I'll turn it on and then kind of get mad at it and then change, but then miss it and then go back like on the next commercial break and be like, well, I just got to finish this part. Maybe it'll get better. And it does slightly, but never.
Not to where you ever felt like it was worth the effort.
Not, and especially not enough to put it on my DVR.
No,
but
no.
In syndication, it's a pretty solid show.
Absolutely. Now, Parks and Rec last week had the wedding episode for Ben and Leslie, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
It was a great Parks and Rec type episode where everyone got a chance to fill a role. Speaking of a large ensemble cast, that most everyone had a chance to fill their role, except for Jerry, who's constantly, at this point, I'm about to start calling bullying hotlines. Because I just feel badly for the guy.
Oh, poor Jerry. But hey, we saw the Christmas party, what Jerry's got going on.
I know,
on
but
home.
You can't have one episode where Jerry wins and 21 episodes where Jerry gets treated badly.
Well, that's just Jerry being Jerry. I mean, come on, his real name's Gary, and nobody even acknowledges it except the ice cream man. Which we saw with the great bachelor party episode. But we get to see Ben and Leslie get married, and it is beautiful. We get to have all the things. We get to have Ron walking her down the aisle.
Right. Ron was – I always feel the show is at his strongest when Ron gets to be kind of the paternal figure where he has to tap into his emotions and do the nice, right thing.
Like, absolutely.
We love him when he's, you know, the curmudgeon libertarian that hates government and works in government and
right.
loves meat. But – The times where he has to, like, let down his guard, I feel, are the stronger episodes of the show.
I completely agree. And you got to have Tom and Jerry come together to help do the vows.
I agree. Now, the only thing that I wonder is Andy's character. So he ended up being the greatest book smart cop that Pawnee has ever seen.
Well, he could remember everything. We've seen his ability to remember stuff in the past.
Right. So, but I don't see his life work ended up being Ben Wyatt's assistant.
No, I don't think so, but it's something that gives him some purpose, and he's getting to help people out and pick out charities. He's going to feel fulfilled by that, and it gets us to whatever the next phase of Andy's life is. And I think that's Andy's not going to punch a clock for 38 years and retire.
No.
All right, so, I mean, come on, Mouse Rat's got at least three more incarnations of the Little Sebastian Farewell song to write. Which is what they do.
I enjoy a good Little Sebastian.
Come on, the Little Sebastian lookalike. When he showed up, oh my God, I was so excited. Anything involving Little Sebastian, I'm excited for.
I feel like Ben. I just don't get Little Sebastian.
All right. Now, New Girl, what you say is surpassed Parks and Rec.
I think it is the best. It is the best show, the best comedy, I would think, on TV. I feel that they also write the triangle very well. I think the Schmidt, Nick, Jess dynamic is by far the strongest dynamic of all.
Poor Winston gets...
Winston, yeah, he gets real... Like, that entire episode where he was looking for a condom is a throwaway thing to fill time. And I would like... Because I really feel that was the only Winston episode that you say is the one where he did the bells.
Right.
And I don't think he really had another... Where he was hyper-competitive.
Right.
I feel like there could be
more to
Winston Schmidt kind of dynamics. I guess the one where they pretended where he was black, that was a good, or they wanted to go get where he pretended to want drugs.
Yes.
I felt that was a really good episode. I definitely believe that there needs to be more Winston involved. CeCe obviously has to fade away because that
Is
love affair.
Is she actually going to get married
to
that guy?
No, not a chance. But she has to fade away to come back.
That's true.
So Schmidt can go through some sort of learning process.
Now, one of the great problems that many sitcoms run into is when you have the will they or won't they couple. And once they either will they or won't they, the show kind of dies a little bit. You could say that, like, with Friends, when Rachel and Ross got together, it wasn't maybe the strongest times for that show. And then after they broke up, Friends went cascading down a hill, in my opinion, the last 3 to 4 seasons.
No, I agree.
But anyway, so with this, since Nick and Jess have kissed, I think the show has been really strong in dealing with that moment.
Yes.
Which most shows would shy away from, either go right into full relationship or pretend it never happened. And they've done a really good job of dealing with how each of them perceives what happened.
I wonder what the minimum amount of episodes you need to get syndication. Is that 4 seasons?
So it's about 4 seasons. It's like
80 episodes?
Yeah. To be appealing, like if you get over 100, you're a shoo-in. But yeah, if you get to like that 80 mark, you're good enough.
Okay, because that would be the point where I feel that well, how about this? Zooey Deschanel is an actual actress.
Yes,
that
she is.
You know, moonlighting right now on a TV show.
Okay.
And doing an amazing job of it.
Absolutely.
Max Greenfield will, I still think he could potentially make that leap. But I don't know, because he does such a good job of playing Schmidt.
He's made Schmidt out to be like one of the most unique characters in television history. Like, you know Schmidt. Like, when you say Schmidt, there's a definite thought in your mind of who that character is, like Kramer or Costanza from Seinfeld. Like, Schmidt is working his way up into that great pantheon of characters.
I agree.
Or Ron effing Swanson, for that matter.
I agree as well, in the sense that he is, I think he's the first character that has tried to be that macho, cool guy, but, you know, he has that bad pass where he's kind of douchey, but he also, like, loves making souffles and, like,
he's
loves
a more
lavender
successful Tom Haverford.
That's a great way of putting it. Except Tom didn't have nearly have that, like, trying to hit on
the
girls.
Work ethic.
Or the work ethic. But yeah, I just feel it's a very three-dimensional character that you're getting. And I guess the mark is you can see yourself in, you can see, like, your friends, like, could be potentially Schmidt-like.
Right.
Which you don't necessarily see a lot. Most of the guy characters, basically any guy character that's on CBS is, for a comedy, is two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Ray Romano was not a three-dimensional character.
Ray Romano was on this season of Parenthood.
Oh, why not?
And he was on Men of a Certain Age, one of the great Lost shows.
Him and Andre Brower.
I knew I loved Andre Brower too much when I picked Last Resort as a hit. It came back to bite me, as you predicted it would.
I'm sorry. So that's why I feel that, and I feel that the that new girl does, I feel there's so many things that I like about it. It does a good job, I feel, of writing LA. It does a good job of writing people in their late 20s. I just feel like it has so many different facets to it. I feel like maybe not just because we live in Orange County and it's right next to LA. I feel like that is a city and a town where those people actually exist.
Absolutely true. You know, the other thing, last night's episode, the 10-iversary.
It made me think of you and Chris Dollar so much.
It made me think of that too. I was like, oh, if Dollar and I had only gotten there. If our wives hadn't stepped in and stopped this.
I would have been an amazing 10-iversary.
It would have been an amazing 10-iversary. I was really sad. It made me sad that we never got to celebrate a 10-iversary. Because our 10-iversary would have been coming up next year.
Oh, wow. We already would have known the plans.
I know. We could have had a whole year to plan it. It would have been very awesome. So I think
it was 10-finity.
10-finity and beyond. So I think it's a great show, and I do have Parks and Rec slightly ahead, but you're not going wrong with either show. And as I said, my love for Nick Miller continues to grow, as when they were drinking in the hot air balloon at the end of it, he passed it to Schmidt. What is this? It's alcohol!
I agree. Good bottle of whiskey solves all problems.
Now, speaking of other things that could solve all your problems, in a show that's always at the top of our DVR to watch list.
Oh, that's not even our DVR. That is just live viewing.
We are sitting here, and we're watching The Bachelor heading up to Thailand. We're down to our final three ladies.
We are. We're just skipping hometown dates because I know we were off last week.
Well, we're off last week. The hometowns, I'd say the most interesting things from hometowns last week was Dez's brother going cuckoo's nest on us.
Yes, that was weird. The other thing that shocked me, besides Bruce, Ashley's dad, it was good to see a good Bruce on TV. All of the others, so that was like emotional.
Yeah.
The other three dates, save for the brother acting crazy, were pretty boring.
Yeah, they were. Nothing big had really happened, except for Dez's brother going crazy. The general was amazingly cordial.
Yes, he was a sweet man, but I can understand why he was intimidated.
Absolutely, too. I wouldn't have known what to call the general either.
I would have called him general. It's a title, like senator.
I agree. But anyway, we move on to this week with our final three ladies, Lindsay, Ashley, and Catherine.
Yes.
And we'll get to our predictions for what happens here. But Lindsay got to bat leadoff this week.
Yes, and it was a strong at-bat. She worked pitches, I'll tell you.
Absolutely. She gets the walking around the market date.
But I feel like for this one, everyone got the walking around the market date.
Absolutely. You know, first thing, you know, they get to go out and they get to buy local food and whatnot. Who gives them the money? That's got to be – does the producer just have a petty cash account? Are they actually changing money from one currency to another in Thailand?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure whoever's the people that set up the dates ahead of time and plan it are already exchanging money ahead of time.
All right. One of the things I did want to talk about before we get more into Lindsay's date, what is your thoughts on all these random tweets popping up in the middle of our episode now?
It pisses me off. I don't understand why other people feel the need to participate. They want to participate in The Bachelor. They can start a podcast like you and I.
Exactly. I completely agree. I thought it was very, very ridiculous. And I said, if anybody should be tweeting, it should be us. It should just be a live tweet of us.
I agree. I feel Chris Harrison, call us. We can live broadcast in the corner. We can get a therapist to help out Brad.
We have all these great ideas for the show. Why won't they call us? So she eats bugs for love.
Now, here's the thing that I don't like about Sean, even though he does a lot of good things. He is very much a show me you love me kind of guy. Eat the bugs. Go into the dark cavern. Like, everything there is like, I want to see.
There's a lot of tests. He tests them.
He tests them a lot. I don't think that's
good. But if you're falling in love with three women, how else are you going to decide which one you love more?
Who's going to eat bugs? Is that really the delineating factor?
No, it's not. I would go the diner route and have a sports knowledge test or something like that at the end, okay?
But, I mean, like, do you really feel like the difference between the girl of your dreams and the girl who's not of your dreams is her ability to eat bugs?
No, I do not at all. Not
and
one.
Even saying that, oh, I need someone that's adventurous. There's a difference between adventure and flat-out stupidity.
Well, speaking of adventure and flat-out stupidity, have we figured out what her foot tattoo is yet?
I just noticed it this episode.
It got a lot of play this episode. I'd seen it before, but this was our best look at it, and it looks like some like tribal symbol.
I was gonna say flowers. Oh. That seems to be the if you're going to get a tattoo on your foot, it's usually flowers.
Really?
Watch.
I don't get tattoos. So.
Well, I'm aware, but you know, teaching some of the regular classes, you know, and their juniors and senior when they turn 18, it's tattoo season, and it's always frustrating.
All right. Well, anyway, so they got to go to Monkey Beach.
Was your wife excited for Monkey Beach?
My wife was unbelievably excited for Monkey Beach. Said she wanted to go there. And so they have all sorts of time. He says that she's the best friend he's been looking for, furthering my claim that I think Lindsay's going to win this.
I disagree, but we'll talk about when my horse comes up.
Well, we will. And she says she's open to moving to Dallas. She wants to start their life together. Everything seems to be on the roll.
She's a substitute teacher. Like, what does she have to pack up and do?
Hey, how dare you disrespect the substitute teaching field?
Well, I feel like they haven't fleshed out her career. If she was a substitute because she was going to be on The Bachelor, or she just couldn't get a teaching job because her life is so transient, okay, maybe. But just like job substitute teacher, yeah. That's really not, that's a job that travels. That'll make it to Dallas.
I would say that the Fantasy Suite card comes.
Mm-hmm.
We know his stance on the Fantasy Suite.
Just time to talk.
I can't believe time to talk actually means time to talk this time.
I know. Usually before, I'm the one person that tries to be the chaste one. I'm like, no, maybe they did just hang out. But this time, I sadly was right. I want to be more in your camp.
I think Lindsay is probably the one that's most upset she didn't get laid.
Yes. Easily. I think she was also the most likely to have blown it out of the park at the Fantasy Suite.
Absolutely. I mean, she sleeps naked.
Yes.
I mean, she's already halfway home at that point. So I really think that she was the most upset that nothing happened there. And so we'll see if that comes back to bite him later on in a couple of weeks as we go through the finale here. But a lot of good stuff there. Any other thoughts on Lindsay's date?
I thought it was a very strong date, very strong performance.
I thought she was great.
I think that date was the difference, in my opinion, because I have Catherine winning it. I think that was the difference that nudged her ahead.
All right. Now we get to Ash Lee, and they get to hang out on a boat date.
She's so nice. She gets to go into a dark cavern and makes it out. Like, I don't even want to dwell on it for a very long time. She made more steps. She's a nice person.
She's horrible at metaphors.
Well, yeah.
She says, this is not a typical thing I would do. None of this on the show is a typical thing you would do.
Well, I agree, but I feel like that's something that they probably coach you to say, right? Like, make it seem as if you're growing or embracing, because I'm telling you now, they're paving her path to the bachelor pad.
To the bachelor pad, yes.
Yes. I don't think she, like we said, there's too much heaviness for a show.
For her to carry a show.
But for the pad, you know who, and I don't want to, I get, I'll save it for the end. I'm sorry. I was getting too far out of myself. I apologize, our listenership. I want to play matchmaker badly.
Ooh.
So we'll save it for the end, though.
Okay.
We'll save it for the end.
I'm excited for you to play matchmaker. But Ashley, they get to go to date, and the Fantasy Suite comes. She nearly has a breakdown about the Fantasy Suite card.
Right, because
she wants to make sure they're on the same page with this Fantasy Suite. And Sean, this is why she loves him, because they are on the same page with the Fantasy
After,
Suite.
I almost wanted to text you during this, if you were watching it, that if she said, "my man," you'd have to take a drink.
Well, this man or my man is her favorite phrase to start a sentence.
I agree. It's almost John Gruden. This guy right here.
She could play in the National Football League.
I just would have thought that if there was a drinking contest, we would not have made it to work.
Oh, no, we would not have made it to work. So they don't come even close to having sex, I'm sure.
Oh, no. I'm sure they actually, I don't mean to be disparaging, I really think that they prayed together, cuddled, and slept in separate beds.
Really? So they went Lucy and Ricky on it?
Probably not, but
I mean, you are the more conservative one.
I am the more conservative
us.
One. It seems so weird between the two of them if they decided to, like, put a little pillow line between the two of them.
Like you did, like, when you had to stay in the same bed with your sister when you were, like, 11 at a hotel room on vacation with your parents?
Yes.
Did you have to do that?
No, we never did. But and Carlisle's very good at sleeping on their separate sides.
Popoviches are not.
No.
All right. Well, so Ashley, and we'll talk about her fate later. Catherine gets another boat ride.
You're in Thailand. You might as well participate in the water.
He loves her weirdness, which I thought was actually a really nice thing to say.
Yes.
And she definitely was mad. She was mad at her sisters and for the stunts they pulled on the hometown, which she has every right to be mad at those sisters.
I agree.
Those twin bitchy sisters nearly cost her. If it hadn't been for Dez's brother.
I know. If it wasn't for Dez's brother, she'd have been gone.
Like, if we were ranking the crappy siblings, I mean, they come in a close second to Dez's Jekyll and Hyde brother.
I agree. Which was
he should have starred in Do No Harm.
He would have been much better in Do No Harm.
She said that, you know, I think she's still here. She's clearly the most low maintenance girl left.
Yes.
That plays very well to males.
Yes.
Most males, unless you're Tom Haverford, are not that high maintenance. That definitely plays well in her favor here, I think.
Well, I think the final two are both low maintenance people. That's what made why Ashley eventually runs into a problem, because she is not low maintenance.
No, she is not.
She might be low maintenance, but emotionally, she would be high maintenance.
She's very high maintenance in all things. And she's probably the worst kind of high maintenance, because she probably thinks she's low maintenance. She's the absolute worst case scenario. She's been scared of love before, we find out from Catherine, but she's not scared anymore. She's embraced love, and she's in it to win it.
By the way, is there ever a moment in your life where you have been scared of love?
No, I've never once been scared of love.
No.
Have you?
No. I've
looked forward to love.
Yeah, you've had bad breakups, and you were sad or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But you never say, like, ooh, I don't know if I can love again.
No, like, I've never felt that questioning that they go through.
That might be a question when we bring Heather Martin in next week. Have you ever been...
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or does she know someone who has been fearful or afraid
Heather
to love?
Heather might not be the best person for that just because of her strong relationship history.
Well, that's what I mean, but she knows a lot of
she
people.
She does know
why.
A lot of females.
And she
true.
Is also forced to answer for every female.
She does
world.
Answer, and she watches the CW.
Right, so she's obviously in tune with her emotional side.
Absolutely. So we see this. Now, the other thing that I thought was interesting is that Catherine was another girl who was also afraid of the Fantasy Suite.
They all were.
How did we
except
get all
for
these prudes? Like,
it's because it's a branching factor. And this is one of my bigger problems with the fact that you always take a person from the previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Is so they went through a phase when it was like Brad.
Right.
Brad is like, you know, emotionally kind of messed up. And then they, you know, branch kind of with the emotionally.
Jake Pavelka.
Jake. Also, you branch into like the emotionally needy people. And then you get to Emily.
Yeah.
Who was emotionally needy because of her tragic story And she also happened to be like a good, solid, you know, like middle America kind of person.
Yeah.
So when we branch to Sean, who's good, wholesome middle America, and then you branch it out, now you get three people that I want to go in a fantasy suite or two.
So this is why I think Leslie has to be the next Bachelorette. Because Leslie, at least in my estimation,
She's
down to get down.
Okay.
I think like Leslie, that fantasy suite comes, Leslie would have been ready to play.
Why not Tierra then?
Oh, because Tierra's got all that too much emotional baggage.
Too much baggage.
You can't watch that. All right, but if you go with Leslie, not very much baggage. She's fun. She's smart. She's cute.
She's
not dangerous. She's
you're
not
the
dangerously
only
pretty.
Person pushing on the.
Really?
You're way. Why not Lindsay?
Lindsay's gonna win.
So you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
You think Catherine's gonna win?
Yes. I've said this weeks ago.
All right. Well, let's go. Okay. So let's go. So, Ashley. So they have the video. I forgot we had the video. You know, segment this week.
The video
message segment.
I'm gonna be completely honest. I left the room because I could not hear an emo. Because you knew the cards were stacking up against Ashley, and it was time. I just didn't want to watch the last dagger get put in.
Well, we know Ashley's not gonna get it, and he really struggles to say that to her. But then she has. I'm gonna say the most pissed walk off I've seen.
You know what the thing that made it twice as sad is normally I don't try to get too invested because again this is a show.
But because she's been left by
I mean, we've heard most of her story and she's been upfront about her story.
Right.
Like when she realizes she's gone, you can watch her put back on that emotional armor. One piece at a time.
She's like Ralph Wiggum. You can, the moment you could see her heart break, the exact moment.
You could, but you could more so than watching her heart break. Like it hits her, and she just gets back her shell, and she hunkers behind the base, and like when she's staring at him, she's listening out of respect and kindness, but she's not. Among anything he would have said, he was dead to her.
Yeah,
and she was doing everything she could to keep. Her emotional state together.
Yeah, it was sad. I felt bad for her.
I did too. And I mean, you can't say that she doesn't deserve it because she's on a reality TV show, and you know full well that these things are going to happen. But I mean, this is the end. Like this, you know, this day was going to come, much like with Tierra. And you don't, unlike Tierra's, you take no pleasure out of this.
Take no pleasures. You know, the point where I felt most sad for her, in retrospect, was looking back at her date with Sean when he asked her, so why are you still single? Like, he threw that question at her. She's 32. You know, like, that's going to keep dogging her as this goes. And this show did not help her with that, I don't think.
No, I don't think this show at all helped her get over. I guess, in theory, they will. Remember, she got to be carried blindfolded and went into a cave. But yes, do I feel like it addresses the underlying issues of her fear of abandonment? No, not at all.
All right, now let's go back to your point. Now, she's going to the pad, you think?
She's going to the pad.
Play matchmaker in the pad.
I personally...
Please say weatherman. Please say weatherman.
The weatherman's not coming back to the pad.
The weatherman? He was a weatherman in Houston.
Was he in Houston?
Yeah.
I was also sticking with the Texas vibe.
Okay.
You got to go somebody older.
Okay.
You got to go someone who's also a little bit damaged.
Brad.
Bachelor Brad, I think, would be a great.
Here's the one issue with Bachelor Brad. He does not fit the Christian lifestyle that I think she is trying to walk right now.
Okay.
So I think that would pose some problems.
What about Tiny Jake Pavelka? Also from Texas.
Tiny Jake could, because he's like a chameleon. He'll do anything you want. He's so desperate. He'll take any form you want.
Even though I think he's tried to stay out of Texas and try to make it in Hollywood and something.
Yeah, I think he is on something now. But I think that's not a bad fit for her. But I think she'll do well at the pad.
I think she'll do really well at the pad. But here's my fear that she's going to hook up with one random guy, say whoever comes out of the bachelorette bracket.
Ooh, that's going to be a good bracket, especially if Leslie is our bachelorette.
My God. Yes. So say some other Texas cowboy who's in his, you know, mid-30s, makes it. Who knows if he's in the pad. Wes! What about Wes?
Wes would be really good.
But again, he also doesn't walk that lifestyle.
He doesn't walk that lifestyle. That's a good point. Well, I think that'll be really interesting. Now, you think Catherine is going to win this?
Yes.
All right, now, next week we have the Women Tell All special, then followed a week later by the Bachelor finale.
A 3-hour Bachelor
finale.
Well,
that includes the 1 hour after the final rose.
I don't know.
Yes, it does.
It always
includes the 1 hour after the final rose. Okay, it's 2 hours and an hour after the final rose. Now, the interview with Chris Harrison. Now, Catherine, I think we can pretty much all agree that Catherine is the one that writes him the letter.
Correct.
Because they write each other notes. He looks shaken by the note from what we've seen. So, but you still are in the Catherine camp.
I think that note basically says that I love you, but I cannot be engaged to you at this point.
Okay, do you want to hear what I think that note says?
Yes.
So if you remember back to when Leslie was tragically sent home, and Catherine had the breakdown of, he sent her home? Like, she's a better fit than I am. Why am I so? I don't even know what he wants. I think Catherine bows out in her letter and says, pick Lindsay. That I am not good enough for you. Catherine has this real problem with self-confidence. I think Catherine bows out of the competition.
Wow, and that would be the most shocking,
that would be the
bachelor,
most dramatic end to a Bachelor ever.
That would be pretty amazing to have the one person bow out. Usually you see the Bachelor or Bachelorette go to the winner or go to the loser early, get them out so they don't have to go through
right.
the rose ceremony or whatever, but rarely do you see somebody get out of the competition.
I think she bows out.
Interesting. There's no chance of him going Brad the Bachelor the first time and pick none of them?
No. He is picking somebody. He is picking Lindsay, I think. I think it'd be interesting to see how his family reacts to them. It looks like his mom has a breakdown.
His mom doesn't want him to get engaged, I think.
Yeah.
I think they believe it's all too soon, which, I mean,
it
let's
is
be
all
honest.
Too soon.
I can't necessarily fault mom for if your son all of a sudden goes on a 6-week.
If little Nick is doing this in 27 years.
I agree. No, you see, 6 weeks and he's going to find his wife. Like, that's, you would expect a little bit longer. You'd hope.
But what are you going to do? So, well, I'm sure we're both all looking forward to Tierra's performance at the Women Tell All.
I agree.
That's going to be fabulous. And hopefully we see if our picks to click come through.
I'm
still staunchly in the Lindsay camp. You're still in the Catherine camp. We'll bring Heather Martin back next week for a finale preview and a Women Tell All wrap-up.
That's right. And see who she can break this tie for us.
Absolutely. And she can let us know what women all over America are thinking.
That's because that is her job.
That's her job. All right.
All right. I'm Bruce Carlisle.
I'm Mark Popovich. We'll see you next week in the neighborhood.